If you see something in your company or outside your company or something where you have to give someone feedback and your first instinct is some harsh shit, write it down. And then create the version that the person can hear.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw,
who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right. So what we want to talk about is giving your team members
critical feedback or the right feedback to actually have them get better or move your business forward.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about that, and we're going to have to finagle here with the mics. We want to have them as close as possible to our mouths. People have been complaining about the mic situation. We're doing something about it.
Well, that's because you're a spitter. Yeah. You spit when you talk.
That's because you're so dry. I'm trying to moist this conversation up.
I understand. Yes. That makes sense.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, if you haven't seen the new pictures of us in the new studio, you want to go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook.
Yeah.
And join us. You'll get all the behind the scenes good shit. And you're going to be part of the community. We're approaching 500 members.
That's right.
On the group, though. That's pretty dope. And there's some amazing people and there's some great discussions and feedback and people helping each other out. So make sure to join. Coming back to this, tell me a bit about the story, because when I asked you,
yeah,
and this was actually last time we met, you know, why the hell you look so damn good? Yeah. And you said, and this is sustained. I was curious if it's going to still be true today, and it is. Heaton has this spark in his eyes. It's just, I don't know. It's very sexy, right? So on a very friendly basis.
Yeah.
Man love. Yeah. There you go. So last time you mentioned, you know, that you used to sometimes think that people in your team are about to make a mistake and not necessarily always tell them.
Yeah.
And that has changed. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So when you asked me that, that was the only answer I had, because that was the only thing that I changed and I've been actively working on. So what I've been working on is, like, when I talk to somebody, let's say on my team, it's generally about them doing something or some feedback loop about something they did. And I used to probably be, for a while, a lot softer about it. Like, I'd try to think about, how do I frame it to them? How do I make them feel good about my feedback? And I actually stopped caring. And the reason I stopped caring is, in this specific case, it's for QuickSprout, my new company, and there's 9 people in the company, and very small company. You can have I think it's much easier to have a shared goal, collective goal, shared mission and stuff like that. And so as long as people, to me, the shift came when I thought about it as, we have a common goal as a business. And as long as I have a rational explanation about how my feedback is related to that common goal, then I feel like I have I should be a lot more open about how I actually feel. Right. Okay. While instead of trying to frame it to someone on my team, because then what happens is, then I'm going to try to, it's almost like, it's not quite like this, but like, they have this saying of like, you're walking on eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually pretty direct most of the time. But I also try to frame it so that someone's actually going to take my feedback or take my input. Otherwise, I think I'm being ineffective, if it's harsh.
Yeah.
Right? So I've just had this struggle, because like, I used to have this problem where I'd give someone feedback. This is usually an entrepreneur or something.
Yeah.
And then they'd come back to me 6 months later saying I'm right. And that didn't really make me feel good, because that meant that they should have come back to me a week later. Right? Not say I'm right, but do something about it. And so I've had this evolution. But now I think the next phase of this for me personally is, how do I actually make it so that our team moves faster and our team makes collectively the right decisions to help our customers, to further our cause, whatever it is. And I used to be a lot more, I used to just try to keep the team member happy and make sure they're happy with me. Right. And our relationship was a positive one, almost like a friend.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't really tell a friend what to do. That's just unless the friend asked you.
Yeah.
While a team member in your company, you might tell them what to do or try to like get them to change their behavior. Right. So in my case, what I do now is, you know, if someone comes and there's a way that they're doing something. So there's like, you know, a landing page and they designed it and I don't like it. Now I start with, I don't like it. I don't like it because our goals are X, Y, and Z, and this landing page only hits X. So what about Y and Z? Right? And that's a very straightforward, direct conversation. While before, I might do the potentially a shit sandwich, which is when you say something nice, mm-hmm. you say something harsh, then you say something nice, and they don't feel it.
I hate that.
So all these tactics, and people can see that a mile coming. I don't usually do a shit sandwich, but that's just a good example.
Yeah.
Usually I would, instead of saying, hey, I don't like it, and starting the conversation out like that, or not even I don't like it, I don't think this meets our goals is actually what I would have said mm-hmm. in that scenario. I might have in the past said something more like, oh, I like the illustrations that are there. Mm. Or, oh, I really like this layout. But you know what? That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We should know what we like. We don't need to repeat it.
Yeah.
What we need to do is focus on what the problems are and fix them. And so I just made this switch recently of like just getting right to the point, but not being like mean about it, but just getting to the point so we can move on instead of like having to dilly-dally around it. But I also am not one for small talk. So that's probably where it comes from too.
What made you switch?
I wanted to move faster, and I wanted to stop sort of walking on eggshells or even worry too much about the person, how they feel. And as long as, you know, there's a shared mission, common goal, and they understand what that is. So as long as I can explain it in such a way where it's like aligned with the business, I feel a lot more authority, for lack of a better word, just to be direct.
And I assume that you've seen not just people move faster, but people take that critical feedback well. Because if people were like, okay, I'm going to change the landing page, but you could tell in their body language that they're really upset about it, it might have affected you in like saying, see, this is why I was not doing this back in the day.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming they've taken it well. People are just moving faster and they're cool with that feedback. And you feel great because now you're not walking on eggshells anymore.
Yeah. It's the one difference was that I'm very good at, when I see something, having an opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not always the best at explaining why I have that opinion because I generally go by feel and gut, mm-hmm. right, first because it just works for me.
Yeah.
Not for everyone because some people's gut sucks. No offense. Not true. You, but yeah. And so instead of going by my gut and having all this sort of internal dialogue in my head of how do I make this feel good and right for the person, I just go for it. I say, oh, I think blah. And then I start talking about it mm-hmm. as if I'm exploring that concept of why I think blah. And then it turns into a discussion.
Yeah.
And so if things are a discussion and it's not a definitive order, so to speak, then nobody has a problem with that. I've never found anyone to have a problem if you're trying to discuss something and collectively get better. But there's a process, right? First, it's like, I don't think that landing page hits our goals, right?
So yeah.
If that's the case, that's either a problem of initially the goal you set, or the fact that there was a miscommunication with the person, so they didn't understand the goals. Or maybe you didn't have any goals, right? So there's a lot of reasons that situation can come about. I used to worry about that. Now I stopped worrying about that, and instead of kept trying to figure out how to move forward. Moving forward is about explaining. So to me, I used to not explain as much about my thinking. And so now what's been helpful in preventing people from shutting down, I call that shutting down, basically, is basically explaining a lot more in a lot more detail about why the goals are XYZ and why this page doesn't hit those goals and
how
there's potential for it to do that.
But the important part here is also that you talk about something that's rational and not personal, right?
Yeah.
So you don't say, I think this landing page sucks.
Yeah, that's right.
How can I feel about that? Like the only feeling I can have is bad.
That's right.
But you say, I don't like it because it doesn't hit on these two goals we have. Now, my focus as the person on the receiving end is on, is Heaton right? Do I believe I hit on these goals? Or, oh shit, I never thought about these things, right?
We're talking about the thing, not the person.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's so important. Whenever you're critical, you want to talk about the thing and not the person, not make it about them, because if you make it about them, people are going to be defensive. We all are going to be defensive.
So I'm going to give you one that's probably deeper and a little bit relevant, I think, for a lot of people, at least in my experience, is that when you don't tell people what you think, especially people on your team, you end up holding it.
Yeah.
And I think what you saw was me letting go of every single one of those or having a lot of progress on those. Like, for example, we weren't shipping our product fast enough, but we were writing a lot of code. That's a problem.
Mm.
This strategy helped me solve that problem. Then there's like two or three other problems, which is when we were designing stuff, it wasn't hitting the right points, right?
Yeah.
So this was also effective in doing that. And since it's a very small team, I'm talking to everybody all the time.
Yeah.
That's how this works, right? So I think and this could also be an early stage thing. So we're super early stage and trying to get something out, right? And I think that's a point, that's probably another piece of this, which is I haven't started something in a while, and it's the approach we used to use at scaling the teams and stuff like that is a little different when you start something where I think you should be a lot more direct. You should make sure that if there's anything off or anything that you don't agree with that the team is doing, you fix it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where all this came from. But I think the high level for me was like what you probably saw previously in the shift was that I was holding all this crap. And so you could see on my face, right? Because I was just either stressed or thinking about it or wondering what I could do about it. And it was on my mind. Now, just by being direct, I don't think about it beyond that conversation because I know it's being worked on and I know we're going to get better.
Yes.
And the whole common goal we have as a company is one simple one, which is we're getting better all the time.
Mm-hmm.
At the Kiss Magics, we call it be better than yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? And I can always go back to that anytime I give this kind of feedback now. And it's not my excuse. It's the truth. I'm only saying this because we need to get better.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. So there's a number of great things that I want to explore. Number one is the concept of not holding it, right? So this is something that I find in any human relationship, you know, and it compounds when it's a number of people that are building the relationship, a family, a team, a company, right? No issue is too small to be brought up. Because the thing is, if you don't bring it up, it will build up, just like you said.
That's right.
And a lot of times what we do as human beings is we think something negative or we're irritated by something that somebody else does. And then we think, I don't want to act on this right now. Yeah. And then later we think, it's not important anymore. Right? Oh, we decided not to launch this landing page. So what does it matter?
Right?
Right? Or, I kind of get why this person did this. So we find a quote unquote excuse resolution in our own mind that justifies us not bringing it up and communicating it
with
the other person.
Yes.
The problem is it's not resolved.
No.
It's still somewhere in our system. Yeah. So you do that for 5 years and then there's this big explosion and you had this in your life. You've seen this. Yeah. We have all seen this where two people all of a sudden have a fight and it's about nothing and it becomes everything. And you go, wait a sec. So you guys got divorced because of the like toothpaste being like, what? Yeah. That makes no fucking sense.
That's right.
But it's not that. It's that and a million other things that
it's
are built
up.
It's the same thing for teams, right?
Yeah.
So the beautiful thing that I've seen is when you can create a culture where people bring up even the smallest of issues, if they learn to bring them up early and if they learn to bring them up in a non-confrontational way where it's not about the person, like you're an asshole because this and that, but when you did X, Y, Z, it made me feel a certain way.
That's right.
Or when you worked on this way, I thought it doesn't support our goals.
Yep.
What is your thinking behind it? What is your, when we're approaching the other person to just explain what happened rationally and then allow them into our world.
Yeah.
The other person, and this is true, I've experienced this myself, is always grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because they're like,
they get more information.
They get more information. Either they agree with you and they go, oh shit, you're right. You know, and then, you know, this is why I did it this and this way. Or they go, holy shit, I didn't see this at all.
I didn't think about it.
I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy that you felt so irritated or so angry about it. Well, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But again, I'm grateful. We're having a chance to talk about this and resolve this.
Yeah.
And then these things don't build up, right? And that keeps a team healthy in good and in bad times, keeps any relationship
healthy.
Well,
so here's another thing I noticed about this, which is if you're thinking it, there's at least a 50% chance the other person is thinking the same thing.
Yes.
Regardless of what it is. I found that almost every time, right? Like if every time, like in this whole process of like being slow on the code or the design's not coming out, the person who was working on those things already figured that out.
Yeah.
They just kept going their way. They didn't know if anyone else cared.
Yeah.
But they already figured it out. So when I brought it to them, 50% of the time when I bring it to somebody, they're like, oh, yeah, I was thinking that. Like, let's go do something about it. I'm like, oh, shit, I should have told you earlier, right, if I thought of it, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's this relief you have when you start – if you're in a situation, your team or whatever, where you come to them with these things and they're like, oh, yeah, that's important to me too. But what happens is – this is what I found, which was probably another evolution of this, which is as I started doing this – they started doing it. Not even to me. They did it to themselves.
Yeah.
Or they started mentioning these things and I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that's good. Like that, yeah, good. It caused me less work because I didn't have to think about it.
Right.
But they hit on all those problems that I would have either found, but they started finding them themselves. Because it's almost like setting the culture and setting the tone of like, hey, if this sucks, like fix it, right? And if you think there's something wrong with it just because you got handed a spec or you got handed some work to do, you still are a human being. You still get to make that decision. You still get to – you don't have to be a robot, right?
Right.
And I think it's very easy for engineers, designers, even other folks in a team, even salespeople and stuff like that to just get handed tasks and just do them. And this is also – I've found a way to help people think for themselves too.
Yeah. And the other – you said, you know, half of the time you find that people had that thought themselves.
Yeah.
I find that the other half of the time, they feel that you feel that way, even if you don't say it. Yeah. So you might be going, oh, I really like this landing page design. But we as human beings, the interesting thing is, although it requires training to become aware of people's body language and tonality and when they're congruent or incongruent in their communication or when they're lying or they're...
Can we say it requires practice instead of training?
Practice. I like that.
Training's just so...
It requires practice to become good at being aware of that.
Yeah.
It requires zero practice as a human being to feel incongruency in other human
beings.
That's right. We all kind
you
of
can do it.
Feel
yeah.
weird.
You're already feeling it.
Like,
yeah.
even if we don't recognize it, even if it's just like 2 years later when the people are like, and he was a murderer, and people go, I knew something was weird. Even if you didn't bubble up to you, you didn't fully register it.
You had this feeling.
You had this feeling. We're really good at that.
That's right.
Children are amazing at
that. Oh yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Children a lot of times will respond to not what you say, but the way you say it.
That's right.
Like animals, right? A lot of times you could tell an animal something horrible. If you do it in a loving voice, they might just come to you, right?
That's right.
if they truly feel like you don't want mean them no harm. So this is the other part where it's not just you're holding it and it builds up in your own system that makes you more stressed, makes you kind of less resourceful and impacts you in a negative way. They might have thought it, so you don't empower them to act on these feelings or thoughts, but even if all that wasn't there, they can sense that you feel a certain way about them or that you're holding back on things on them. And that just feels shitty and makes people not act right and not be able to
work. Eventually, they might not even trust you because then you're not telling the truth.
Do you think this has to do with working in small teams? So I don't know if this is a problem. I'm wondering, is this a problem that in a large organization with like lots of, you know, infrastructure and organizational structure, if people have the same problem as if when you're working on a team that's like 5 or 10 people.
Yeah, so the funny thing about that is most large companies are just groups of small teams, especially successful large companies, because like they realize that the more people on a team, the less work that gets done.
Fair.
Right? So if you look at like Facebook or Amazon or some of those companies, the teams are small. So this is probably more of a team dynamic thing, which can apply to any size team, any group, just because you're still having these conversations, you're still having this relationship, right? Where someone produces some work and you're looking at it.
And then how do we think about calibrating this feedback? So there are different people will respond to different messages, are motivated differently, use a different language.
Sure.
Do you even worry about like calibrating it to the person that you're talking to?
I go back to just something I'm used to, which is just getting context. So, so another approach, which is something I've learned from people who I've hired that have honestly manage more people than me in their lifetime, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that they use, and this is a strategy, you can read about it online, there's a bunch of them, I don't know what it's called, but it's similar to the Socratic method. Mm-hmm. So what you'll do is you'll start asking people, oh, why did you do the illustration like that? What was your intention, right? And so you could start that kind of questioning, and that's also a softer way, but at least you're still trying to get to the point,
right?
So if you don't like something on a page or something like that on this landing page thing, I might just ask why it was done that way,
right?
But the thing is, if you start doing it, you're going to go through a phase where people call you on it. Like they already know you don't like it.
Yeah.
But then once you get over that phase and then you just become the person that's always trying to get context, then I think it can be very effective. So for me, I'll always get the context and personally, I'll always try to align it with that person's world. So if I'm talking to a salesperson, I'll try to align that mission and that reasoning of like my feedback or whatever around what they care about.
Right.
Because yes, we all care about the business.
Right.
But they care about something very specific, which is getting more sales.
Right.
So I try to align with what their worldview of this business looks like, which is going to be different for every team member.
So what else can we tell people? So let's talk about people for a second that don't even have a team but might just have one other person, right? So the co-founder setup.
Sure.
So same thing kind of applies to the co-founder. Is there something
different
here?
I think it's easier.
If
you're a co-founder and you can't tell them anything, even the harshest stuff in the harshest ways, I don't know. It's not that you should be an asshole. Don't get me wrong. But like if you have a co-founder, they're like your wife. Or your husband, or your partner, whatever way you want to look at it. And those are people that you tend to need to be, you obviously don't tell them everything, that's impossible, but you need to be so close to them, have such a relationship where it doesn't matter what you say and how you say it. Because the common goal is already implied because you started the thing.
So was that always true for you and Neil? Like, have you always just always both told each other what you think?
That's a really good question. So yes, we've always told each other what we think, mm-hmm. like very clearly.
Yeah.
As clearly as possible. No, on the side of has it always worked? Mm-hmm. So until we could figure out how to talk each other's language, we had a lot of trouble. And in fact, my wife, who's her brother and my wife, she'd come in the middle of it and just help us translate because we're very different people.
Yeah.
Right? He's got, just like you and I are actually, right? Yeah. We're commonly aligned on like ethics, moral stuff, and probably just general stuff. But when it comes to like what we like to do every day, we like to do way different things.
Yeah.
You probably like talking to people for sales, right? Just to peg you. Right?
Yes, of course.
And I probably like talking to people about marketing just to peg me, just to be nice.
Yes.
And that's a whole different thing. So with Neil and I think we had a good period, and it probably stretched out longer than it should have, just because we have this relationship where we're not going to start companies without each other.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
Can you say a thing or two about this, just because I think it's remarkable and I love it, that for you guys, if I understand it correctly, even if – let's say you had a consulting business on the side where you gave people landing page feedback.
Yeah.
And Neil had nothing to do with that. Yeah. You'd still split 50-50.
I would. Yes, and I do.
I fucking love that. I just wanted to highlight that you guys are partners in everything independently from who does what where.
Yeah. And I blame him. He started it. So he started doing some things. He's like, hey, you can have half. I'm like, okay.
It was just random things, right?
Yeah. And he's like, I just don't want the trouble. And he's very tactical. Mm. So he's like, I don't want the trouble of having anyone else manage the finances but my sister. I don't want to have the trouble of having to deal with that shit. And if I had to do it any other way, then I wouldn't feel as comfortable doing that.
Mm.
I'm like, oh. So he's very tactical.
Yeah,
right?
It's smart.
And for me, yeah. And it's for smart. Me, yeah, it's just solving a tactical problem, right?
Yeah.
And so it evolved from there, right? And I was like, oh, well, cool. If you're going to give me half of your crap, like, I might as well do the same.
Yeah.
In our specific case, I think it's family, and we have a very strong connection since he was 11 and I was 14. I'm sorry, 15.
15.
And it's not strong in the sense of we were friendly. Because he'd like hide under the bed and listen to our conversations when, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he was the bratty little brother type of deal.
Yeah.
But we've known each other so long that there's already that sort of family type of trust, if you want to call it that. But at the end of the day, it's like, I like things simple and so does he. And that just makes things simple. Right.
But I love it. All right. So this will blow people's minds. I guarantee it to you.
All right.
I guarantee it to you. And when I mentioned this, we talked about this a while back. I mentioned this to one of my co-founders casually in a discussion once. And he literally stopped what he was doing. And he looked at me and he went, his first words, that's smart. and I was like, elaborate. Yeah. And he's like, well, if you know that you trust the other person and they're like amazing and you work well together, it makes things so simple, because if you have an idea and you want to explore something, there's no conflict there.
It takes all that out of it.
It takes so much out of it. Everybody can just do what, you know, and you know we're all going to be a team. He's like, that's pretty smart, huh?
And well, he considers my kids his, because he might never have kids. So we extended super far, right?
Yeah.
Just because he's crazy. Right? I'm like, all right.
But that's on another level, right? Know, but then there's family, right? Yeah. You're married to his sister.
Right. So that stuff
helps. You guys known each other since you're like 11, 15, whatever. Yeah.
But that's just trust. That's just building trust and that's having trust.
Yes. So, and knowing that you want that relationship. And that relationship will continue forever, right?
Absolutely. It is an infinite relationship. Not even probably. One of us is going to die and then it's done. But like, that's it.
Until then.
And even then it probably won't be done knowing us. Yes. Yeah.
So, all right. So what's the action I want to leave people with, other than like get married with your co-founder's wife, potentially? when it comes to like, feedback in the team, feedback to your co-founder and others, giving critical but still productive feedback. What's your takeaway?
So my takeaway or tip is like, if you're a person that starts with something negative in your mind, a lot of people will try to tell you to start with something positive. I'd actually tell you the opposite. If you are very good at picking a negative thing, like just finding a problem, that's an amazing gift, to be honest, right? I think I'm good at it, but I don't think I'm as good as other people. And it would be a shame if you tried to change yourself, right? Around and try to always be happy or always think of the positive. So my tip for you would be, if you see something in your company or outside your company or something where you have to give someone feedback and your first instinct is some harsh shit, write it down. And then create the version that the person can hear.
Right.
So start with the harsh one and then cut it down. I used to do this with my emails. I'd write angry emails, save them as a draft, wake up in the morning and make them better, and then send them or don't send them.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the angry email draft thing.
Yeah.
It works really well.
Okay. I love it. So here's my tip. This is a little left field, but I feel like giving it that way. So whenever you are irritated by somebody's behavior or actions, I want you to try this out as an experiment. Instead of immediately acting on that impulse, ask yourself, in relation to this thing, what am I unhappy about myself? Or am I happy with – so let's say somebody is not working hard enough on your team and you want to confront them about that because it irritates you. Before you do that, take a moment to ask yourself, do I feel like I work hard enough these days?
Ah, interesting.
And then see if the answer is yes or no. I once heard somebody
say... So you're inverting that to yourself.
Yes, as a first step. Because what I've learned, somebody once said, I read this quote somewhere that said, you can't be completely happy and at peace with yourself and at the same time criticize somebody else. And I find that to be true. It's very soul-crushing at times. It's very annoying. That does not mean that I will not go and talk about